Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
You the famous Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that?
We are now joined by Jason Wilde of Wilde and Tosh. You can hear him weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN Madison. You are just jamming over there, G, aren't you?
When we started this tradition of the What's Up With That. I like it.
Good. I'm glad you like it. Jason, we actually are kind of using something that you said on Wilde and Tosh this morning in terms of you bad. No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. In terms of you feeling bad for Chicago Bears fans, do you want to just elaborate on that just a little bit more for us?
Not really.
What's up with that?
No, I will. But first, G, how you feeling, man?
Oh, man.
You doing all right?
It was a whirlwind of a night. But, yes, I have enough energy to be in the office. We had the 12Q, which is a very important thing that our company does. And I wanted to be here and hear what our CEO, Craig, had to say. And then the first thing, Jesse didn't ask how I was. Jesse didn't ask what was going on. Didn't tell me how the show went last night, the Great Dane Huddle with Barry Alvarez. He said, can you do Jim, Matt, and Molly at 4 today? I was like, all right, we're doing it.
So I want to be clear that I care about you and your health.
Thank you.
But I don't think, and it pains me to say this, but I'm so glad that you were sick. Because
whoa.
You're not the kind of person that would have set Barry Alvarez up to rip Ben Brust had you been there. I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you've got a little diabolical in you. But Jesse basically saw the opportunity to set Barry up by throwing Ben under the bus, and it led to one of the greatest moments in GKB history. And I just don't know if it happens if a nice guy like you is hosting. What do you think?
All right, first things first. I'm so happy to hear that you have that perception of me. The first time I did this show with Jim Rutledge, it was me and Jim, Molly was gone, Matt was gone, was the day after I threw Jim Rutledge under the bus for saying on Twitter, he put a poll question out there, I believe to stir the pot, asking if the Badgers fans would like to see a change at head coach.
This is utterly preposterous that I've even heard that.
Which got that drop and the accompanying, do you have the amen ready?
Amen.
So we were throwing Jim under the bus. Ryan was mad at me for throwing him under the bus the other day. I might be a bus thrower, and I think Barry might be the bus.
Absolutely ridiculous.
he's definitely driving the bus. I have him pictured with like one of those little bus driver hats on from the 50s and just rolling over Jim and Ben. Now, so you're saying that you would have – so I should take that back, that Jesse setting coach up to say the immortal words of who gives a blank about what Ben Brust has to say would have happened anyway had you been on the show?
It was my text to Strofe to send that to Riley, who produces the Great Dane Huddle.
And so I got you completely wrong. Yeah.
I'd argue that Ben Brust also may have earned it. I don't know if you've heard.
No doubt.
If you've heard about me, so there's a clip on YouTube of me playing Ultimate Frisbee that has gone hyper viral. It has over 122 million views now. And
what?
Yes.
You're talking to a superstar in the Frisbee world, Jason.
I knew that, but I didn't know about a video that had 122 million views.
Jason, it's not good. It's bad.
Uh-oh.
It was my first home game. I made the mistake. I got a block to end the quarter, and we had just a little bit of time left. I could have held the disc. I could have just effectively taken the knee and run out the clock. Instead, I tried to do something with it. And
you tried to be like Jordan Love before going into
half. I was just going to say, you're the Jordan Love of Ultimate Frisbee.
Oh, man, that would be great. I would love to get paid like Jordan Love. but yeah, it goes poorly. And the first day that it goes on air, or it goes online, it ends up on Ben Brust's For You page. And he threw me under the bus without a hesitation. It was, oh, you're board hopping today? Hey, Alex, explain this. And so that was a little embarrassing. And he, I owe him one. I'll get back at him.
Well, all right. Well, you did well. Somebody send me that link. Wooly, please send me the link of the 100, so I can be 122,000,001 viewers of this video. Molly, to answer your question, so I just, and look, you can have whatever opinion you have of me. I'm okay with that. I don't think a lot of people know me well enough to have too strong of an opinion of what kind of person I am. But I had a little pushback, let's just say that, on social media about my take after Tausch put it out into the Twitterverse, and that it was simply that I feel bad for Bears fans because it's not their fault that they have repeatedly hired inept coaches and inept general managers who have gotten draft picks wrong or, as it would appear now, probably still got the draft pick right, but created an environment where that draft pick is unable to succeed. I saw Greeny was talking today about how essentially Caleb Williams wanted to go to Washington all along, and now we know why. But I think people forget, because I always talk about how I'm not a fan, because I'm not, and we're not going to waste any more of this show of me trying to explain how that works. But I did grow up a fan. Like, I cried when the 1982 Brewers lost Game 7 to the St. Louis Cardinals, and Gorman Thomas swung at strike 3, and the game was over. I remember staying up that same calendar year, I think it would have been 83, not 82 now that I think about it, that the first time I got to stay up for a Packers Monday Night Football game, which there certainly weren't many of, when they beat the Washington then Redskins on Monday Night Football, and being allowed to stay up all the way past my bedtime for the whole game to see that game, which was one of the greatest games in Packers history. I remember being gut punched by the Bucks every playoff season when I was growing up, because they either ran into the Celtics with Larry Bird, or they ran into the 76ers with Dr. J and Moses Malone, and they would never get to the NBA Finals. So I have been a fan. And those are teams that were in great position, at least the Brewers and the Bucks, that were in playoff positions. But I grew up with the Packers being mediocre at best. Like, they were an 8-8 team seemingly every year of my childhood, except the years where they were below 500. They made one playoff berth when I was a kid, and it was in 82 when the season was shortened by a strike. And the Packers, under the leadership of Judge Robert Perrins, who was the team president before Bob Harlan, did everything wrong. To the point that the Packers actually, and this is one of my favorite stories, is that the Packers actually had a chance to hire Ron Wolf years earlier, like 4 or 5 years earlier than they did. And once Ron Wolf saw how the organization was run, he said, no, thank you. And Bob Harlan was the assistant GM at the time, and he had to drive Ron Wolf back to the airport after he said, I ain't taking this job. I'm not interested. And so I do remember the 70s and 80s when the Packers, and I won't swear on the air, were blank-y, right? So I get it. And we do have teammates in Chicago. And I know Danny Zetterman said that he doesn't want us to feel sorry for him, so that's fine. We won't. But Waddle and Sylvie and Carmen and Yurko and Cap and Jay Hood, these guys, they're not like me. They are fans. They want their team to succeed. And it must suck to constantly have them screw it up for the fan base. That's all I'm saying. And no, if you have a Bears fan friend who trash talks you on the rare occasions that things go right, I don't expect you to feel bad for him or her. I don't. But from where I'm sitting, I just think it's got to be so exhausting and so frustrating to have the people who run your franchise F it up all the time. All the time. This is the third straight first-round pick quarterback where they chose to pick him and not have a fresh, brand new head coach who then had to either inherit him or the quarterback had to inherit the coach instead of having them joined at the hip. And it's not working yet again. Matt Eberflus is getting fired after the year. I don't know why they didn't just fire him now. I just don't. It just must be so. And I, look, believe me, I don't feel any pity for Jim.
People
but others,
like me.
I do. Yeah. So anyway, that's where it was coming from.
Jason, I'm curious, if Jordan Love were to have gone to the Chicago Bears, how do you think that would have panned out for him?
Poorly. Pretty much anybody. Like, you know, and Aaron Rodgers, I remember talking about this with him back when he was, when we were doing the show long ago, and the 49ers were in the era of Colin Kaepernick and Jim Harbaugh, that, you know, Rodgers always said that he would have had the same career if they would have taken him instead of Alex Smith. And I would always say, okay, I mean, look, I understand you're more talented than Alex is. I think Alex would admit that. But, like, dude had, like, 5 coordinators in 6 years. Like, he had, what, 3 head coaches there? Like, that stuff, that does matter. And it does put a player into a less than favorable situation to succeed. And unfortunately, you know, for Alex Smith still had a pretty darn good football career, frankly, after everything he went through. But I don't know how Jordan Love, who, you know, and I've had this conversation with Jordan because, look, I really, really like him. I think he's a really good kid who really cares and really cares about his teammates, which I value a ton in terms of the kind of character you have. But I watched him in 2020 and 2021 and even most of training camp in 2022. Well, he just wasn't very good. And I don't like the people that make it sound like this was preordained that he was going to turn out to be how good he was, say, during the second half of last season, because that undercuts how he worked his ass off to improve and what a great job Tom Clements and Matt LaFleur and the rest of the coaches did with him, and how he altered his mechanics and his footwork to be more accurate and have a stronger arm and all those things. And so if he goes to Chicago, first of all, he definitely doesn't sit for 3 years. But had the Packers, you know, had Rodgers somehow, you know, he's mad in 2020 that they drafted Love, right? So if Rodgers has the cojones to force his way out after 2020 and Jordan Love has to play in 2021, you know, I know Matt LaFleur in 2024 managed to put together game plans that allowed Malik Willis to succeed, but I think Jordan would have had a really tough time in Green Bay had he had to play sooner. And so imagine how bad it might have been had he had to play in Chicago with all the dysfunction that that organization has. That would have not given him much of a chance to become the player he now is.
Jason, do you feel bad for Jets fans?
You know, I don't really know many Jets fans. Do they have fans still after everything that's happened?
There's some.
I mean, look, I don't know enough of them to feel like a personal connection like I do with Waddle and Sylvie and Jim. And I have a lot of other friends, too, that are Bears fans that I went to college with or what have you. I don't know a lot of Jets fans, but I do feel bad that they thought, oh, my God, we finally, you know, after all this time and, you know, Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold and all the different guys they'd tried, oh, my God, we've got a 4-time NFL MVP and we're going to have success. And then he ruptures his Achilles on his 4th play. And now this year they've been terrible. I mean, it's a train wreck. And look, Aaron Rodgers deserves criticism for this. You guys know, in my opinion, when he deserves criticism, I've delivered it. And he has created this environment. He is a major reason why the environment is what it is out there. And so I feel, I guess, a little bit bad for them, but I don't have enough personal connection to feel as strongly as I feel about. Look, again, I don't care if people don't like this take, but, like, I really want Caleb Williams to be good. I've been saying this from the beginning. Jim's heard me say it. Like, I want this rivalry to be hot and heavy and really fun to watch. Like, going into every game not knowing which team is going to win. And under Matt LaFleur, And certainly during most of the Favre to Rodgers to Love eras, we've always known who's going to win. Now, sometimes the Bears have won, but not against Matt LaFleur. They're 10-0 against the Bears under LaFleur. Like, 5 years he's been the coach, and they have yet to beat him. Like, that's not a rivalry. That's a cakewalk. So, I just don't understand how you can... Here's the other thing. Some people choose to become fans of different teams. Like when I was growing up, the team that was always on in the late window on TV was the San Diego Chargers. And so they became my second team after the Packers. But I was born into a Packers family. My grandparents had State Fair Park tickets in the 1940s when the team was playing at State Fair Park in West Dallas. That was when Milwaukee bailed the franchise out when they were hemorrhaging money. That's where the whole gold package came from. I used to go to games and sit behind home plate at County Stadium and watch Packers games. And most of the time they lost. So I lived in that world. And I suppose I could have decided I was a Bears fan. But my dad was the kind of guy that got pissed off at the trick-or-treaters for ringing the doorbell on Sunday afternoon when he's trying to watch his Packers game to ask for candy. So the Packers mattered to him more than the local kids in the neighborhood, clearly. And so if you're raised that way, like Tausch's point this morning was, well, if you don't like it, stop being a fan. That's not how fandom works. You grew up watching the Bears. You keep and sports, as we know, whether it's the Madison Radicals or Forward Madison or the Badgers or the Bucks or whatever other team you root for, you're always going to be optimistic and hope this is the year. Well, Bears fans have done it, and they finally thought, we've got our savior of a quarterback, and now that organization is ruining him 9 games into his career. It's pathetic.
Did you watch that Ford Madison game the other day, Jason? Is that why you brought it up?
No, but I have a friend who works there, and I'm obviously very supportive of soccer, especially with a little soccer player in my house. So I am bummed. Again, bummed for the people that care deeply about the Flamingos and about the mail truck coming at 4:52, that their disappointment was, I mean, it would have been really nice to see them advance.
Uh-huh. It was tough. My husband is a Minnesota Vikings fan, but I think he got more ticked off at the way that game ended than a Vikings game this season. So, that's all I got to say about that. But Jason, thanks so much. As always, we look forward to talking to you again on Friday.
So now we've gone from what's up with that to Forrest Gump closing his speech with that's all I have to say about that. You are a walking quote machine, Molly Brown.
I don't even try. That's what makes it so good.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Thanks, Jason. That was Jason Wilde of Wilde and Tausch. You can hear him weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN Madison. Want to tell you about our friends at Roost Chris Steakhouse in Middleton. They have their horseshoe bar. You always hear Jim talk about it. Their sizzle, swizzle, and swirl happy hour. And we will be out there. Well, not we. It'll probably be Ryan. Ryan, prime time. And Jim and Matt will be out there on December 4th. Doing our show live, so that's fun. Go check them out at Roos Chris in Middleton. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Kevin Bozeman, and when I'm in town, I'm making sure I'm always listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly on 100.5 ESPN, even when I'm on air. I still listen to myself, because that's how great that show is.